Good morning, Grace Point.
Good morning.
Wow, I've missed you guys. I feel like I've been sitting around doing nothing for a couple weeks. How are you guys doing? Everybody good this morning? If you are good, can you shout amen? Can you say, I'm here to listen to what God has to say to me? To me. Not to them, but to me. Amen. Today we are starting a new series. It's called The Counselor. Anybody been to counseling before? You feel like you're in trouble, right? Not really, right? You know, today we're starting this new series, and I'm excited about it because I feel that God always has something to say to us, and this is a message that we're starting today. We're ending on Easter Sunday, and it's all about Jesus. And I just love the topic of Jesus because, you know, he's just that man and that God who has changed my life. And so anybody that's transformed my life, I'm excited about, right? And so I don't know how many of you have ever been to counseling before. As I said, I've been to counseling before. I'm not ashamed to admit it. And I think there's a lot of wisdom when you need help to find someone who's wiser than you that can help you find direction, right? Quite honestly, the first time I went, I didn't want to go. It was in a tough situation. And sometimes it's easier to avoid something tough, right, than to confront it. Anybody with me? And the second time I actually went, I went on my own will, right? I wanted to go because I recognized that they were right and I needed to get some help. And so I went for that reason. So, but quite honestly, the second time I was very excited to get help. But I was shocked at first that I went in with questions and I wanted answers to those questions. Anybody go to counseling because they want some answers? Yeah? A couple of you don't want to admit it. I get it. It's all right. And, you know, and my counselor, she just kept asking me questions. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I'm paying you by the hour. And I've got questions, and you're asking me questions? That doesn't seem right. But what I didn't realize is that the best way to find truth is often on the other side of a good question. And in fact, my counselor asked me several sessions in two questions that really just, they pierced my soul and helped me bring, you know, like this journey and start this journey of healing in my life. And I will never forget, my counselor looked at me and we were talking about the issue of working too much. I've kind of struggled with that in my life sometimes. And she said to me, who is it that you're trying to impress? And what is it that you're trying to prove? And when I had to be really honest about the answers to those questions, I could see the sickness that was driving me and that started me on a journey toward healing. And it was a good question that helped me find the answers that I was looking for. And when you read the Gospels of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark and Luke and John, you're going to see Jesus asking questions. He asked questions over and over again, and you can barely read very many conversations at all before you see Jesus throwing in a good question back at those who are asking questions of him. In fact, he asked over 100 recorded questions in the gospel. And so what we're going to do today in this message series is we're going to look at the four most important questions that Jesus asked, and then we're going to let him, by the power of his spirit, be our counselor. Everybody say, God is my counselor. So let me tell you what we're going to do in the upcoming weeks. Today is the first question for those of you that may be in the middle of a trial. Anybody in the middle of a tough situation in their lives, raise your hand if that's you today. There's kind of a storm going on in your life, right? And we're going to see Jesus ask the question, why are you so afraid? Next week, for those of you that maybe you need a miracle in your life, you're in a tough spot and you need the power of God, the touch from God, you can't do something on your own, we're going to see Jesus ask the question, do you believe I can do this? And then the third week, we'll really speak to those who have an ongoing challenge, a habit that you can't break, a sin or a physical problem that you haven't been able to overcome, maybe a reoccurring sin. And Jesus asked a question that on the surface seems, you know, a little obvious, but when you dig beneath the surface, it's a profound question. He asks, do you want to be well? And then the fourth week is actually Easter weekend, and we are going to deal with one of the biggest challenges, I believe, in modern day church, and yet one of the least, talked about subjects. And for those of you that have spiritual doubts, you know, I want to tell you that God actually addressed that question in your life, and we're going to see Jesus ask the question, why do you doubt? But today we're going to see Jesus was actually teaching from a boat. Anybody been on a boat before? Yeah, okay, good. A couple of you, anyways. And maybe the boat's pulled up on shore that Jesus was teaching on, and you've got a lot of people gathered around the boat. They're listening to Jesus' teaching. And then he says, Jesus talks and goes over to his disciples, and he says, well, let's leave the crowd now. We've been teaching all day from the boat, and we're going to go to the other side of the sea. And the boat, which was Jesus' pulpit, is about to become the illustration of his message. And so with that in mind, let's dive right into Mark chapter 4. We'll read verses 35 through 41, and we're going to break it down verse by verse. Okay, are you with me? And here's what Mark's gospel says. Verse 35, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. Verse 37, here's where it gets interesting. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, I don't know if any of you, some of you said you've been on a boat before, but you thought that you were on a boat that was about to sink, or you thought it was going to sink. Anybody been through that experience? Right. One, I was actually on a cruise ship. It was a hurricane, and, you know, it wasn't going to sink, but, you know, I was feeling like we were going like from side to side on the ship, a huge cruise ship. And this, you know, this actually just happened on a cruise ship, I think, this week in Norway, right? People were freaked out. Actually, there was water going into the boat because the engine stalled entirely. If you've ever been on a plane that's had massive turbulence, anybody been on that? Maybe some of you, right? You may not be a believer, but you suddenly become a prayer warrior on that plane, right? You're like, oh God, if you're there, help me out. And so this is kind of that type of situation. Where they're thinking, the disciples, you know, they're out there. They're like, this is the end. This is massive panic. We're going to drown, is what they think. So verse 38 says this. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I just think that's hilarious. You know, there's like a storm going on, and he's just chilling, sleeping, right? Which is, it's funny to me, right? They're thinking they're going to drown, and Jesus is taking a cat nap. And so verse 38, the disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, here's the question. Say it with me. Why are you so afraid? Okay, nobody said it with me. Ready? Let's say it with me. Ready? Why are you so afraid? He said, guys, I'm on the boat. You've seen me do great things. Why are you freaking out? And then he says, do you still have no faith? The disciples, verse 41, they were terrified. And they started to murmur and ask each other, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. He asked the question, why are you so afraid? You know, I'm not a meteorologist, thank God, right? And I don't claim to be one, but what I've discovered through my research is that the Sea of Galilee is about 680 feet below sea level. If anybody been to that part of the world, maybe no, not I, but you know, there's actually a few trips coming up to Israel if you're interested. And it's surrounded by all these mountains. And so according to the experts, this is the perfect place for a storm to blow up out of nowhere. It's very common for a storm to just start into the Sea of Galilee with very little warning. That's what the research says. It can be a very beautiful day, and then out of nowhere, boom, massive storms can hit. And it's a terrifying feeling to anybody that's a fisherman or out there. When it sounds like, anybody been through a hurricane, you hear it's almost like a train, right, that's coming toward you. And this massive storm, it just comes out of nowhere. And what's interesting is as you go through life, sometimes life can be so good and so normal and so perfect, and then out of nowhere, using it as a metaphor, some big storm comes into your life. It could be you're having the best month of your career and you just got a promotion and your husband just, you know, complimented you the other day, you know? And then you find out your company's laying off people. And because you're one of the newest people on the team, you realize your numbers probably don't add up, and out of nowhere, things were great, and then boom, you're out of a job. There's the storm. And it could be your relationship is better than it ever has been, and you think, man, we're finally smooth sailing. We're finally out of that bad area. And then your spouse goes to the doctor to check something out, and suddenly you've got horrible news. And it just comes out of nowhere. And you feel like the rug's been pulled out from under you. And you don't even know how you're going to make it. There's a storm. Or you think your child is doing good. You've prayed so much. You're working with your kids. You're like, okay, they're on the right track. I got them. You know, they trust me. I trust them. And then you find out some horrible truth. And suddenly when your child is making bad decisions, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life that's going well. Everything zeroes in on that one thing that's the storm in your life. Is that right? You're in the middle of a storm. In fact, what's always interesting to me is that church people, everybody say, I'm a church person. Church people are sometimes the best at hiding the storms they're in. Somebody said, say preach. Some of you right now, you look totally fine. You look really cute, by the way. But behind your smile, you're in the middle of a storm. And maybe nobody even knows about it. In fact, I've seen some people, sometimes where people are jealous of other people. They're going, man, I wish I had their life. Oh, I wish I lived in that house. And you're thinking, I'm two payments behind on my house, and I'm going to probably lose my house if I don't make this next payment. And nobody even knows that that's what you're going through. And sometimes you look good on the outside, and nobody else would know that you go to sleep afraid. You cry yourself to sleep sometimes. You feel alone, isolated. Even the pressure of a lot of good things, sometimes it just feels like it's way too much. You have anxiety, some of you. And even though you're blessed in all different ways, you think, there's no way I can keep going at this pace. It's too fast, it's too much. And so you put on a smile, and yet on the inside, you're in a storm, and nobody knows about it. In fact, I want to ask as gently as I can, and I pray that you'll be honest today. How many of you right now would say, it could be a big one, it could be a small one, it could be one that could be coming, it could be in the life of somebody near you that you love, but how many of you would say right now you or somebody close to you is in the middle of a storm? Would you raise your hand? So many of us. So often in our lives, we're in the middle of things. We didn't see it coming. We would never, ever choose this, right? What I want to do today is from this story of Jesus. As Jesus asked this piercing question, I want to show you today. Specifically in the Word of God, I specifically want to show you two things. When you're in the storm, two things to remember and embrace when you're in the middle of a storm. The first one. For those of you that are taking notes inside your bulletin, take out your pen. You know, sometimes it's good to write this down, especially if you're in the middle of a storm. You might look back on this week and be able to focus your attention on what God has to say rather than what your emotions or your mind has to say to you. Somebody with me today? Number one, this is good news to you, that you are in the storm with His presence. You are in the storm with the presence of our good God. Verse 37 and 38, it shows us that. It said a furious squall, this storm, it was furious, right? And I can just imagine on this boat, it's like not a big boat, you know, but it's a medium size because there were, you know, all the disciples were there and Jesus, and He was obviously sleeping, so He had to be, you know, have the space to be able to lay down. So it was like a medium sized boat, but this furious storm just squalls up. And Jesus was where? Where was He? Let's look at verse 38. What does verse 38 say? Jesus was in where? The stern, right? He was sleeping on a cushion. He was in the boat. And here's what happens so often, though. I believe a lot of us think, okay, wait a minute. If I'm with Jesus, there shouldn't be a storm. If I gave my life to Jesus, it should be smooth sailing all the way, right? Sunny skies for the rest of my life. And I need to tell you that that is not true. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But he said, but take heart, take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen? Can somebody say amen with me? Because Jesus never promised that if you come to him, that life would be easy and it will be storm-free. Jesus never said that. In fact, the reality is often the opposite. When you move from darkness to light, everybody just do this with me. You move from darkness to light. I feel like there's something, God's going to shift something in our spirit today. You're moving from darkness to light. Everybody shift with me. Come on, from darkness to light when we come to Jesus. Everybody shift from darkness to light when we come to Jesus. Yes. When you move from darkness to light, suddenly you step into the middle of a spiritual battle. Somebody doesn't want you to go into the light. You see, Christianity is not a playground, but it's a battleground. A battleground between forces of darkness and forces of light. And so when you move from darkness to light, you're in the light now, and all of a sudden, the forces are trying to get you. Anybody happen to anyone? Right, you're trying, you're walking, you're trying to get in the right way with God, and then all of a sudden, like out of the nothing, a storm comes in your life. What is this? You step into the middle of the light, suddenly darkness is against you, and you are going to face opposition. And you will face temptation. And there will be spiritual warfare for your soul. And to think just because I'm with Jesus, nothing's going to go wrong, is a distortion of the message of Christ. In fact, God never, ever promises you that just because Jesus is on the boat, that the storm is never going to rock your life. What he promises is this, that the storm will never sink you. Amen? The storm is never going to sink you because Jesus is with you. God is for you and God is with you. There is nothing that can take you out of the presence of God. Amen? Jesus was in the stern. He was on the boat. And that's the total game changer. As long as Jesus is on my boat, I'm going to be okay. As long as, even though there's a storm around me, as long as Jesus is in my boat, I'm going to be okay. Because his presence is with me. Amen? In fact, I read this article. Interesting. It was an interesting article. It talked about older people. I was sharing with somebody, you know, as we get older, we're around our parents and they're getting older. And we have family members that are getting older. And I was reading this article, and it said that older people actually live longer if there's something else living in their house, right? Or someone else. You live longer when there's someone else with you. Anything at all. It could be an old deaf guy, I don't know. It could be a house plant, a fern, a cute dog, a little lap dog, whatever, a big ugly dog. It doesn't matter, right? The point is it could be a goldfish, a cat, right? But there probably is some evidence. There's evidence, some research claims that, you know, that it can even be certain kinds of cats, right? I don't know, but there's research, right? But what I know is that older people live longer when there's somebody living in the house with them. Every now and then, some of you, you're going to be in the middle of a storm. Some of you are in it right now. And it's going to get really, really bad. It's going to get furious. It's a furious squall. And people are going to look on and say, how are you getting through this? How is it that you are enduring this storm in your life? How come your world is not falling apart? And yet, how come you aren't falling apart? How come everything's going wrong and yet you still have this quiet confidence in your life? Why is it that you're in the middle of the storm and there's a deep assurance in your life? Why is it that you have this peace? Why you're going through this storm? And what you're going to be able to tell them is that because there's someone living in my house. You see, there's someone in my house. And he's not just life. He's the author of life. And you see, you just need to tell him his presence is with me. Jesus is in my boat. It's all that matters. And because he's with me, I can sense his strength. And I can sense his presence. Because he's with me, I can sense his power, which I need. And because he's with me, I can sense his comfort, which I need right now. Because he's with me, he's on my boat, he's in my boat. I am at peace. Just because I'm in a storm doesn't mean that he is not with me. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Thank you. Never, did you hear me? I don't know if you heard me. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Don't you ever let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt that God is with you. It doesn't matter what kind of storm you're in. If you are with God and God is with you, you have nothing to worry about. You know, I like to, when I read scripture, I like to personalize it. I like to put in my name or, you know, it just makes it more real to me. And so I like to take, for example, Psalm 46:1, and I personalize it. And it says, God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my ever-present help in times of trouble. He is with me in the storm. And so you take scripture and you personalize it. How about in Hebrews 13:5? And it says, never will God leave me. Never will he forsake me. And I love to personalize. How about Psalm 23, which most of us probably know by heart? It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, I'm not staying in the shadow of death, in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk through it. And when I'm walking through, I will fear what? No evil. Why? Because God is with me. My God is with me. He never ever promised that the storm wouldn't rock you. You know, the storm that you're in right now, we're going to learn in a minute why it's there. He never promised that there wouldn't be a storm in your life. He promised that the storm would not sink you. You see, he's in my house. He's on my boat, and I'm not alone in the middle of the storm. I pray that no matter what you're going through today or this week or these past few weeks, that you find comfort knowing that his presence, God's presence, is with you even in the storm. Somebody say amen. Amen. The second thing, if you're taking notes, and this hopefully will minister to you, is that you're also in the storm for his purpose. God has a purpose for the storm. You're in the storm with his presence, and you're in the storm for his purpose. Everybody say, God has a purpose. Everything he does, God has a purpose. Think about this. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So whose idea was it to cross the sea? Jesus' idea, right? This is an obvious question. It was Jesus' idea. He said, let's go. Let's go to the other side. Why was he taking them to the other side? Well, Jesus was God in the flesh, and he knew on the east side of the sea was a guy that was hurting himself, that when they get to the other side, there was this guy who was hurting himself because he was possessed with an evil spirit. And Jesus was taking the disciples to the other side, and Jesus was going to speak healing into this guy's life. And Jesus, because he's God, in the flesh, he knew that there would be a storm that would blow up in the Sea of Galilee while they crossed. Jesus knew that he was taking his disciples on the boat into and through a storm. He knew it. Whose idea was it again? Jesus' idea, right? And it was Jesus' idea who knew that they would be going into the storm because he knows everything, right? So from that line of logic, we can say that they were not in the storm because they were out of God's will. Are you following with me? Yeah, they were actually in the storm because they were in God's will. Are you with me, right? Now, some of you, you're going to get mad at me right now. I get it. You're probably like, do, 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 do. And you're going to say, oh, so what you're telling me is that God caused the storm. God caused the storm. And I can't get into that territory, and I'm not going to, you know, you want to have that conversation, you know, we can totally do that. I'd love to do that. But, you know, some people say, did God cause the storm? Or did God allow the storm in his sovereignty? You know, that's another question. I can't tell you that God caused the storm or that he allowed the storm. But what I can tell you is that God always, always uses the storm to do a work inside of your heart. In fact, I believe with all my heart that why James could say something so powerful. This is James, the brother of Jesus, my favorite book in the Bible. I say it every time. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He says, consider it pure joy. In other words, move to the state of worship within your soul. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. Trials is equivalent to storms, right? Wait a minute. That sounds ridiculous. You're going to be joyful in the middle of a storm? That's what James says. And then look at verse 3. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Some of you right now, guess what? You are in the middle of a test. Your storm is a test. And a good teacher, why does a good teacher test you? Why does a good teacher test you? To see it, to pass you, right? To promote you, right? To make sure you know the material, is that right? At the end of the year, you take a final exam. Those of you that, those of us that went to school, you pass the test, right? You move to what? The next level, right? Next grade. And God, in his love, may be allowing you to experience something, even testing your faith, promoting you to another level of belief. Everybody say another level. Oh, yes. And this faith, it produces perseverance. James says, let perseverance, verse 4, finish its work so that you may be mature. Everybody say mature and complete. Because some of us need a little bit of maturing and completion. Is that right? Not lacking anything. The reality is, I just have to call it like it is. In our church, we have a lot of people who are very young in their faith, right? Very, very young. And we need some maturing. How does God mature us? In a lot of different ways. He matures us as we get to know his word. He renews our minds. He matures us as we discover our spiritual gifts, as we have relationship with other people. Whether it's somebody that we're close to or somebody that we didn't intend to be close to. He matures us and helps us make a difference in someone else's life. But he also matures us through certain storms so that God does something in our spirit. In fact, some of you, I would say the difference between where you are and where God ultimately wants to bring you is the storm that you have yet to endure. And some of you, you're going through the storm, and you're going through the storm, and you went through it in December, and you went through it in September of last year, and you went through it in the summer of the year before, and you're still going through the storm again because you have not allowed the test of God to produce maturity and perseverance in your heart. Because God has a purpose in the middle of the storm. I don't know how many of you know somebody, who they're just solid in their faith. Anybody know somebody that you know, like they don't move, they're just like shake, they're solid. Anybody know somebody like that? Yeah. I can promise you that they've been through some storms with Jesus. They know his faithfulness. You want maturity? You gotta go through the storm. You gotta pass the test. You gotta allow God to fulfill his purpose in the middle of the storm. These people that are solid in their faith, they know God's faithfulness. They've been in the boat, and the storm has been furious around them, and they have trusted that Jesus is with them. They've trusted his faithfulness. They know his presence. They've learned that there's a purpose in every single storm, that God is about to do something in us, and he's going to teach us something in the middle of this trial, in the middle of this storm, that we are not going to learn any other way except in the middle of the storm. Did he cause it or did he allow it? I don't know, but I do know that he always uses the storm. My faith is not in what I know. What I know is so limited. And my faith is not who my friends are or what's in the bank account. My faith is in the one who is in my boat. Amen? You see, the one, his name is Jesus, that changed everything. I've been through the storms, guys. I'm in the middle of a storm now, but I'll tell you that I'm different because Jesus is on my boat. The disciples, they hadn't gotten there. They didn't get it yet, so they're panicking. And they're like, Jesus, we're going to drown. Wake up! And what does Jesus do? Verse 39, I love this. Jesus gets up, he's like, oh, yeah. And he gets up, he rebukes the wind. And I don't know what it looks like when he does that, right? But he's like, bad wind. You stop, Stop it, wind. You're in timeout, I don't know. He rebukes the wind, and he says to the waves, quiet, be still. And the winds literally just listen to him. Die down, and it's completely calm. And then Jesus looks at his disciples. You are God's disciples. And he looks at the disciples and Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Why has the storm caused you to panic? Why has the storm caused you to lose heart? To start wondering, what am I going to do now? Oh my God, that's it, And some of us, we're like a chicken with our head cut off. When we got the answer right inside, right with us at the boat. He's the boat. He's with us. It's Jesus. He's the one who says, quiet, be still. He can calm the storm with a word. He doesn't even have to say it, Why are you so afraid? Don't you remember that I'm the author of life? Don't you know that the author of life is with you on the boat? Verse 40, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Some of you, your faith, I get it, you're young in your faith. And so you see the storm and you start coming up. I know some of you are very, I was saying, our church is pretty smart, by the way. You're all pretty smart people. I'm really proud of you. Yes, give yourselves a round of applause. But it's a cautious one. Because sometimes when you're smart, you start coming up with ideas on your own, right, of how to fix the problem. Happened to some of us. Jesus, you're in the storm. I'm the answer. You don't need to come up with the answer. It's not up to you. Do you still have no faith? Don't you know that I am the author of life? It's not you. Yeah, you're good. You got great stuff. But this is a storm I've allowed or I caused, and I have a purpose in it. Would you just trust me? The disciples were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And what happened? I want you to notice something. What the disciples called Jesus at that time when he was in the boat, they called him teacher. Teacher, do you care if we drown? Teacher, teacher. Because at this point, Jesus was their teacher. What they did call him later, I want you to know, is they didn't call him teacher anymore. They called him Lord. Here's what happened. The fear of the storm started to grow into a holy fear of the Lord. Whoa. Who is this? This is amazing. The fear of what might happen to them transferred into this reverential, holy image of an awe-filled God. Fear of the Lord God. So a lot of you right now, you are in the storm. And what does this mean? If you are a follower of Jesus, I'm going to ask you, why are you so afraid? Have you forgotten that you're in the middle of the storm with the presence of the author of life? He is with you. Everybody say, he is with me. He is working in all things to bring about good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You are in the storm with God's presence, and you are in the storm for his purpose. So why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? And as you get to know him, he's going to mature you through this season of growth. And, you know, you're going to endure some storms, and suddenly here's what happens. In the middle of the storm, you can be afraid because the boat looks like it's going to sink, but suddenly your hope is no longer in this boat that's supposed to protect you. All of a sudden, your hope is in who is in the boat with you. And that changes everything. You see, I used to be afraid. I used to be afraid of so many things, especially of who God called me to be. I just look back and I think, wow, I had a lot of fear. Who God called me to be, what he called me to do, and of my marriage collapsing, fear of failure in general. I just didn't even like that word. It was a paralyzing, ongoing fear sometimes. But my hope is no longer in these things and no longer in the boat itself. You see, my soul is anchored in the Lord because he is in my boat. He is in my house. He dwells within me. He is with me and he is for me. Hallelujah. Therefore, he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So why are you so afraid when Jesus is with you in the boat? You know, I want you to bow your heads this morning, right where you are. As you take a minute and you reflect in prayer, I want to take a moment and pray for those of you today that would say, I am in the middle of a storm. So many of you raised your hands. Or maybe somebody that I love, that's close to me, they need a touch from God because they're in the middle of a storm. And if that's you, if you are enduring something difficult right now, or you're close to someone that is, that really needs the presence of God, would you just lift up your hands right now? It's just a sign that you're ready to let God be at the stern of your boat this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's an act of faith. Man, there's hands going up all around here. Praise God. God, I hurt with those who are hurting today. And I know, God, that you hurt even more. But I'm so thankful, God, that in your sovereign love, that you know the details of every single situation, of every single one of us here. And God, not only do I pray that you would calm the storm, as you can do, God, but God, even if you don't calm the storm, I pray that your divine presence would minister peace. A peace that goes beyond our ability and beyond our understanding. God, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would bring comfort today. A comfort that only you can bring, Lord. And God, in your presence, I pray that we could start to pass and even sense a purpose that you're doing something in us in the middle of this storm, God. You're teaching us something that we couldn't learn in any other way, God. And in the presence of your Son, God, there is hope, even in the middle of the worst storm that's in our lives. God, would you help us to cling to Jesus? Would you help us to believe that he is enough? God, I pray for miracles. There are people here today that need a miracle from you, Lord. And that the storms would pass quickly, Lord. That there would be healing. That there would be wholeness. That there would be maturity. That there would be forgiveness and restoration. And Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, that hasn't invited you into their boat, into their life, I pray, Lord, that they may make the decision and step over the line today. Even the storm, God, can bring us closer to you. You know, we don't always understand why God allows certain things to be in our lives. We have so many questions. But I do believe God will sometimes allow us to get so low, Some of you have reached your low point. You're so low. You're so low. You're so low. There's depression, and it's hard for you, and you can't have seven seen. You don't see. You don't even want to look up. You don't even want to call on Him. But today, this morning, God says, because there is no storm, I will. Doesn't mean that I'm not with you, even though you're in the storm. And sometimes we feel that we're in the storm and we don't want Him. We don't need Him. We can do it on our own. And God says, today, I want to show you that I'm with you. I love you. I don't want you to walk alone. Invite His presence into your life. You need His help. You need His help. Would some of you, would you just repeat with me? Repeat after me and say, Jesus, I call on you. Would you be my Savior? Would you be my helper? Would you be my helper in the middle of my storm? My hope is in you, Jesus. It is not on the boat. My hope is in the person you, who's with me in the boat. Today, say today, I put my faith in you. In you alone, not in everything else, but in you, Jesus. And God's people say together, amen, amen, and amen.